Tape identification. This is an oral history interview recorded with Mr. Mervyn Kemp at Churton Lee Rest Home on September 25th, 1995. Recorded on a Sony ECM tape recorder using a Sony standard clip-on microphone. The interviewer is David Young. There's a little bit of background noise as the rest home staff move about in the passage outside, and it is side 12 we're on now. We've just been talking about efforts to get reform, and you were doing that work for Muldoon. I was also going to refer back to something about Warren Cooper again. I just want to try and collect some of your memories of these people, because yesterday, in a very polite way, you did speak out very strongly against the idea of feather bedding within local government staff, right?
Hmm.
Do you think that's part of what Warren Cooper had a nose for? Do you think that's where some of his opposition to regional government came from?
Yeah, possibly, it might have. Although I didn't ever see him having enough in him to raise an issue like that.
No.
He's swimming with the tide rather than anything else.
Yes, yes.
And,
yes, okay. So he wasn't your thinking man, really, in terms of local government.
Didn't
have a strong philosophy on it. I want to turn now just a little bit. Are you feeling as if you've left anything out at the moment?
Not particularly, no.
Good. Well, what I thought we might try and do is talk a little bit about what you think, looking back, were your achievements. Now, I know you're a modest man, but this is for the future, so I'd like you to put aside a little bit of that natural modesty and just look at what you thought were the highlights, really, of your life in terms of your service. Quite clearly, that regional swimming pool in Kilburnie is is one of those things. It's one more recent.
Yes, it's mainly on a smaller scale than that.
Yes.
Because we're dealing in smaller counties.
That's right. I thought you'd say that. Right.
And one of the strengths you had, if I had any strengths at all, I sometimes wonder, you kept the thing as small as you could.
You're talking about the size of what? Your operation as a council serving the community?
Yeah.
You tried to, yeah, what an optimal size, really.
And then you didn't get carried away with too much enthusiasm.
You're not an empire builder, are you?
No.
You're not into sort of erecting monuments to yourself, really?
No, I never did any monumental building at all. And in fact, we shunned it very severely at one stage of my development.
Yes.
And I never have any conception of trying to make anything grandiose. Certainly.
So in a way, what you're saying is that someone who does a reasonable job in local government as a leader, maybe it's partly their achievement is what they didn't erect as well as what they created.
Mm.
Is that a fair way of putting it?
Yes, it's. It wasn't the sole judge of what we achieved anyway. And that, I think, was brought about by the fact that I didn't have much money to spend in the earlier days.
Yes. And you really got into that habit of frugality.
Oh, I don't entirely think so.
Frugal's not quite the right word.
No.
It's more a matter of moderation.
Well, one of the points that did occur to me, items that I haven't really covered here.
Yes.
that they came into this field as well now, that you're leading into. I think I did mention in passing anyway, the a new concept of not local government as such, but the formula that provided them, provided Wellington with a normal amount of interest in I'm just searching for the right words.
Mm-hmm.
At an international airport.
An international airport?
Mm.
Yes.
Here again is one of my pipe dreams I had at a time where they just about were building, going to build a new airport for ANZAC, and at the same time create a new domestic airport. They had a shocking old building there.
That's right.
And I had one of my ideas how it could be done at limited cost, and I canned it because I didn't get enough support, but I canvassed quite highly on it to various institutions and other organizations. I got something there where I treated them as, for one thing, I thought the idea of the council being the shareholder of the government was quite wrong. There again, the part to play there was for the regional government to be in with the council and not the council. The council had no right to in the area. It was really for the regional council, but they laughed me to scorn in Wellington City. Oh, you know.
Yes.
Absolutely nice of me to scorn, and but funnily enough, no one of any other organisation like the American Trade of Commerce or anything like that, they didn't laugh me to scorn.
They could see the virtue of it, but they didn't prevail either.
No, it failed because interest,
vested interests, and
yes, it disappointed me a bit that I didn't have any luck. But
these were things that probably also helped you to not stay in that job longer, presumably, did they? You sort of talked about McCaskill's influence in yesterday, but when you get when you're thinking regionally and getting laughed at by a self-interested city council, presumably you begin to wonder whether it's worth the candle.
Yes, I lacked the financial backing. I think if I had a bit of that, I would have gained more support.
Financial backing from?
Well, for instance,
Wellington City.
Hmm.
Okay. So that was a dream that you had that didn't succeed. Were there other? Is there anything else you want to say, looking back on your life in terms of your achievements? I noticed that you were awarded the MBE in 1969 and the CBE in 1979 for your services, presumably to local government.
Hmm.
Is that right?
Yes.
Hmm. You were also, sorry, do you want to say something about that?
Oh, no, no.
You were also a member of the Municipal Association of New Zealand for a long time. 57 to 82, and you were president for 3 years during that time. Was that, I don't know much about that organisation, was that an important position to hold?
Yes, it was, as such. But more recently, with the reorganisation of local government, it's lost a lot of its importance.
I see.
It was quite important, in some importance, and it just revived itself. For instance, I didn't have any body elected year by year as I used to have. I think Elwood was one of the last ones elected.
Right. How was it important when you look at something like the Local Government Association?
Well, it did a fair bit of the Local Government Association's work.
Oh, I see.
The roles have taken quite a different path. And we, for instance, the Local Government Association usually consisted of certain number of people, all elected by time, and but all working people in local government in one way or another.
Yes.
And you'd have a fair smattering of men drawn from local government by reason of experience they gained from that. And it's usually very powerful, and it's often called in by government and discussed with it some very confidential matters. And would have been very surprising if they'd been revealed to anyone at all. And it had no standing, but a lot of standing was accumulated.
A lot of influence.
Influence came.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose I got a fair bit of that.
Right.
Coming off on me. Because I was in or around for many years.
Yes.
And
you were involved in a number of other organisations. We've dealt with most of them. There was a district roads board that you were on for some years as well. Is there anything you want to recall from that time, in terms of the kind of battles you were having to deal with national government, presumably at that time?
Well,
or central government, I should say.
I was never in a position of importance there.
Right.
It came to me because of other positions I held, and the roads board, well, that's been abolished now.
Yes.
And I think it's a pity it has been. But then again, it's in the eyes of reform.
Yes.
Everything had to go.
That's right.
Irrespective whether it took no pause to realise whether that was a good organisation or a poor one. A whole lot went. Frequently, they reformed in other names. It's called Transit New Zealand or something now.
That's right.
And basically, some of the men are the same persons. But I don't see any advantage for it being changed at all. And I'm sure you can get many people to agree with that.
On that point, I mean, a great deal of these revolutionary changes that took place in the last 10 years.
Sorry.
But many of these changes were made in the name of accountability, and the other word was transparency, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Financial operation. Now, these were things that you were always pretty dogged about, by the sound of it anyway, in your own dealings in local government. You don't think that there has been some advantage in that operations are now very focused on what they do with the reforms. There isn't that sort of feather, there shouldn't be the opportunity for feather beading or slap financing.
Yes, they did it so easily. Yeah,
they did what?
Feather beading.
Yes, you mean in the new era.
Hmm.
So, although we've got this sort of more streamlined sort of corporation approach now, that really people are no more accountable than they were. Is that what you're saying?
Basically, one way, yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fallacy, really, to assume they've gained more, because I don't think they have. I don't think the drastic changes have been taken. They've sometimes even been taken in use of names. The one occasion was the abolishing of Ministry of Works and having to go out and earn their keep, you might say, by taking jobs.
Yeah, turning it into a consultancy, a small consultancy compared with what it was, yes?
It lost something because it had built up something over the years, I think. It gave them reliability and a wealth of knowledge there.
That's something we haven't valued at all in the changes, isn't it? That the collective wisdom and institutional wisdom that had no value at all.
Right.
So we've paid a price.
We certainly have.
So if you'd been in that Labor cabinet in 1984 when they came in on the swing against Muldoon, knowing what you know or knew then, you would have been a council for greater restraint in their reform. You would, is that right? I mean, you've always looked for reform, but you wouldn't have done it in such a reckless fashion.
I hope to think so anyway.
Yes.
I would hope, because I did know them, some of them quite well. You what?
Yes.
The chap I had a lot of time for.
You'd known him for a long time, probably.
Yes, all the time he was in the cabinet anyway.
Yes.
Henry May was another one I had a lot of time for. Yeah.
Of course, May didn't... May was gone by then, wasn't he?
Yes, he would be. Oh, he was a bit of...
He was in that...
He was in the era, he was cabinet minister, minister of local government, I think.
That's right.
And he wouldn't rate very highly.
No.
In those people, but he was one that I admired for his complete honesty. And...
What was it you liked about Hugh Watt?
Again, he went straight to the core of the trouble, and I think that's not something I love really well.
Yes. All right. Now...
He again was another one who was an honest person. He once said to me, this was when he was out of office, and hadn't been in office at all. He said, you know, I can't stay this much longer. I'm getting out. Unless, of course, we have the luck of winning an election, to go in and I get a job that I'm capable of doing. The chance to do it. I've exhausted everything here I would be capable of doing, of having the opportunity of doing.
Yes.
And that opportunity did come to him.
Yes.
And he did make a name for himself.
Yes.
And
this is in the Kirk era.
Hmm.
Yes.
It made me think long and hard about that, because if they're right what he's saying, he was a capable man.
Yes, but they were in opposition for a long time, weren't they?
Hmm.
Yes.
And he's getting pretty fed up completely.
Right. I just want to, we're getting towards the end of this tape, and the one thing we haven't talked about is your sporting associations, because you were very heavily involved in Tawa with a lot of sporting activity.
Yes, I have a great regard for cricket. It was my first love.
Always? Did you play it yourself?
Yes.
Because you talked of tennis earlier on.
Yes, like swung over the tennis.
Later. What were you, a bowler or a batsman?
More of a batsman, I think.
Yeah.
You have one of the reasons in the inheritance side of it. My father was a very good cricketer. Friends of his, each lifetime, have told me at the age of 16 or so, he's captaining a team of cricketers playing first class cricket in Melbourne, and had he not gone to the Salvation Army, they claimed he almost certainly would have been one of international stars.
Is that right?
And that may be a slight exaggeration, but that's
what the feeling for his metal. Hmm. Yes.
But I never had the ability. I had some degree of ability, but I was too nervous and failure. And it remained my first love anyway.
So you followed it all your life?
I still follow it.
Yes?
Where I can. I can't do it very much now, but
you can still watch and listen.
Oh yes, but it's not the same.
You're not a one-day cricket man, really.
No, not really. I give them all full marks for making it exciting and all that, but there's nothing really as exciting as a real cricket match. If you got the time to spend going to it and seeing to it as you normally do now, the game will finish. They went through an era. This is mainly the fault of the cricketers' associations. They arrange it by declarations and whatever, is that they will finish the game. The game will be finished. And that's where you see the real cricket, in that field.
Mm. I'm not surprised to hear you talk like this, because really, I guess it's not, you won't feel comfortable saying this yourself, but really, it seems to me, listening to your life that you've shared on this tape, that you've always behaved in a very gentlemanly fashion. You've always been polite, and you've always tried to see other people's point of view. And that cricket, the love of cricket in the old-fashioned way, is part of that world that you occupy, which is of playing according to a noble tradition and playing by the rules, and always with a sense of... So, have you got any regrets looking back on your life, apart from the loss of Tawa as an entity, which we've talked about. Well, would you have done your life this way if you chose again? Would you do it this way?
Funny enough, that's something I have thought about myself. And to be quite honest, I can't say I would. It had too many disappointments, I suppose, really.
Yes.
And I didn't have so many blatant disappointments as such. And I soon compensated for them anyway, one way or another. But somehow or other, I felt I lacked something, a bit of good fortune perhaps. It might have been a bit more of that. If that had come my way, well, a lot of things might have changed. It may not have changed for the better, of course. That was the unknown. I didn't know myself. But I never had the opportunity of doing anything. So I don't think I would have lived the life the same way as I have. After all, I didn't intend to do it this way anyway.
And set out this way? No.